following program is brought to you in living color.
Stick your nose in. Don't be shy. Really get your nose right in there. Really. A little citrus. Maybe some strawberry. And, oh, there's just like the faintest sousson of like asparagus, and there's just a flutter of like a nutty Edam cheese.
Wow.
Strawberries, yeah.
Good.
Strawberries.
Yeah.
Got the cheese.
Life's chocolate suck the will right out ya. Hold on, Lord, I can't do without ya. Seems like a lot of gray in the world. Women want a song. Women want a song. We'll make it all move along to a lovely beat.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape. Now, here's the host of The Wine Crush, the woman selected best wine show host within earshot, Laura Lawson.
Well, to the wine cellar.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine and were afraid to ask. That's what we are here for. We are your media resource for everything about our charming little grape. Yes, we only have a little time left for any of those little rascals still on the vine to be declared. And it is so hard to believe that we have yet another year under our belt.
Kind of a sad moment, isn't it?
No, not particularly.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
I try so hard this time of year to look back and be reflective. Think about the year. Think about the great things that occur. Think about the blessings. But I know there's no way to do this. I really do wish that Christmas and New Year's weren't right there together.
Yeah. We should have at least a month separation.
I'll take 2 weeks. I'll take something. But it's so hard to get geared up, to get all happy, to get through the stress of the holiday, and then try and be reflective and look back and count your blessings, and then try and put it all together, and all of a sudden, bam! So it's great. Maybe as I'm getting older, I just wish for more fortitude. I don't know what it is.
The holidays, there's all this anticipation, and everything leads up to this great big crescendo that we're supposed to just wrap ourselves around, and I'm exhausted by the time I get there. I don't know about you as you get older, but I'm exhausted.
It is. Here's a question. This will be a great one for our listeners. I had a number of them today. But how many of y'all actually enjoy the holiday for what it is and what it's supposed to be? Or how many of you just have expectations of how the holiday is supposed to be and you just kind of feel like you sell yourself short?
Yeah. I'm starting to learn to enjoy the holiday for what it is. Christmas and New Year's, everything. Thanksgiving, everything.
Well, I think that's what great this year. I really do. I have sat back and looked at today's show and tried to put together celebrating the New Year's and toasting. And again, there's that word, to be reflective on the past year. And I like having this moment where I stop, take a deep breath, and really look back at it. And I think this is the first year I've done it. And so my goal right now is to shift my whole paradigm and to plan this upcoming New Year's to celebrate what has happened this year, not what I want to happen, not what I want to happen New Year's
right.
Eve, not what I want
no
to happen New Year's Day.
No resolutions, no nothing. Yeah.
Not what I expect of next year, but take a deep breath and say, man, it was another year. It was a great year. It had its trials and tribulations, but man, this is what I took from it.
So was it great? Overall, do you think it was a good year? I mean, mine sucked, to be honest.
I think this is one of those things. Okay, let's put it this way. There's a lot of women out there that will probably agree with me, and I don't know if men get this either. When you're in your teens and your 20s and you have pictures taken of you, and you see the pictures. Now, of course, back then in my teens and 20s, we had to wait to go get the pictures developed, or we had the little, you know, the Polaroids you had to shake.
Right.
And you'd look at them and say, oh, my God, I hate that picture. That looks awful. Burn it.
Yeah.
And then you go back 20 years later and you look at those pictures and think, good Lord, who was that person? Man, look how pretty, look how energetic, look at that smile.
Yeah.
I think this year is going to turn out to be like the picture of me I hated in high school, but I look back now and think that was a great picture.
Probably so.
It's going to be one of those years that if you ask me, I look back, and this is what I think everybody does, is it's real easy to focus on what did not go well. I did this. I did this. Instead of really embracing what you learned, what you took for it, what that adversity built into you, I think everyone just looks back and does what you did and say it sucks.
Yeah. Well, we have a tendency, though, to jettison the stuff. As history moves on, time moves on, and we look back on past years, we don't remember the bad stuff that much. And I'm sure this year will be a lot like that, too. It's like I saw a picture of myself at my high school prom not long ago.
Prom was a long time ago. The picture recently.
I saw the picture recently, and I noticed something on it I really hadn't noticed before. There was a pimple, a Mount Vesuvius pimple. And I know that then that was bothering the heck out of me. But as I think back on my prom, I didn't even, you know, that doesn't even show up on the radar anymore. So we lose the bad as we go, don't we?
I think we do, and I think part of this is the luxury of being able to get older, is you don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
You really don't.
What does this have to do with wine?
Well, what it has to do with wine is traditionally it's a time to celebrate the year going by, the time to celebrate the people you're with, what has happened, and of course we all lead up to the great New Year's Eve ball-dropping celebration. Everybody has to have this perfect year. And so I want for people to step outside that. Not everybody is going to have that beautiful, romantic, great New Year's, that whether it's from Harry Met Sally when the ball drops or the perfect parties, but you still can embrace it and make it your own. And that's part of what we're going to help today, is we're going to discuss two things. We have a great guest. We have Miss Katie Kelly Bell. She is an amazing freelance writer that has written everything from Forbes to Wine Report, you name it, she's been in it. She's going to help us discuss sparkling wines and ways to ring in the new year and what she sees out in the market right now. And I am going to try and help you get through that. If you have a certain persona, if you have a certain set of friends, if you have a little bit of charisma, every single one of us, some reason, somehow, some way, is going to have to make a toast, whether you want to or not. So I thought I'd go over the history of toast, where it comes in, and things to do for the toast. Because for some reason, New Year's Eve and weddings, you always have to make toast.
The toast has a history?
Toast has an amazing history. Toast has interesting history. There's a lot of it that's been argued and debated. Some people say it's bunk. Some people say, oh, that's not true. But ultimately, we have to speculate. No one sat down and wrote, well, this is what this meant. It'd be like people 300 years from now looking at the text YOLO and say, oh, well, what were they thinking? Where'd that come from? Why is it YOLO? And you don't know why people do things, but you have things that are handed down by word of mouth. So let's look at this objectively. The whole concept of toasting, there's a lot of interesting things that are tied with it.
Oh, okay.
Number one, this is factual. You can read this. You can go back to Shakespeare. You can go back to Plato. This is actually talked about. Toast, as we know it, basically a burnt piece of bread.
Oh, that toast.
Toast. That kind of toast,
right,
is really what stems the whole concept, the terminology, everything that goes with it. When you look back at our friends, the Greeks, that were making wine, they didn't necessarily have to suffer through all this argument and debate on whether French oak was better, whether American oak was better, whether or not it was good to aerate, whether you should stir on the lees. You didn't get into all this debate. Basically, they fermented something and hoped it didn't turn out to be poisonous. And you're talking pine trees, they would ferment. You name it, they made alcohol out of it. And so as such, the wines weren't necessarily of the character that we have today. So when they looked at the great amphoras of wine, quote unquote wine, they tend to be a little bit bitter and a lot acidic. They weren't known for really aging them or letting any of that die off. Basically, as soon as the grape gave it up and you had something resembling alcohol, they were going to drink it. So one of the ways to get around the bitterness and the stringency was to take a burnt piece of bread, literally something that had been burnt so it had charcoal on it, and you would put that on top of the wine. Now, what's interesting is, I don't know if you follow all the advertisements. And I'm going to get the vodka wrong. I'll go ahead and assert myself that I will get the brand wrong. But I think it's Grey Goose that talks about filtering itself three times. No, it's not. It's Sky Vodka that talks about filtering itself three times in charcoal. And it helps remove all the impurities. It's something they advertise that it's charcoal filtered. This is essentially what the Greeks figured out to do with the wine, because the charcoal would help null the acidity.
Makes you wonder how they discovered that.
somebody got drunk, burned a piece of bread, threw it in the wine, decided it tastes better. How else did we discover everything else? How did we discover grapes? Elephants stepped on a whole bunch of it. It left a rot, and the monkey started falling out of trees.
That's true.
That's how we figured stuff out. So ultimately, that's where the concept of toast came from. And then when you had glassware and people were drinking their wines, they'd ask for a piece of bread on top of their wine to make the wine more palatable. Ergo, toast. Now, so that's where toasting comes from. I'm going to toast someone, I'm going to lift my wine and my bread and put it all together. Now, here's another, when you think about lifting your glass and toasting, there's a whole lot of speculation and there's a whole lot of debate that once you lift your glass to offer a toast, you have to touch the glasses. Ching, ching, you can hear all the noise in your head.
Right. Traditional.
Traditionally, here's where everyone argues back and forth. That actually developed in medieval times because they were tired of poisoning each other. And they figured that if they poured from a common container and you toasted enough to slosh your beverage over into the other person's beverage, if they had poisoned you, they too would be getting the poison. So by toasting, you were making that ultimate sacrifice saying, I have not poisoned your wine. We are all friends. Here, I will give you part of my beverage. You give me part of yours, and neither one of us are going to die.
I see.
In fact, you use a snippet for an opening from The Princess Bride.
Yes.
Yes. About switching glasses and poison and all this kind of
stuff.
You
drink from your glass, I drink from mine. Yeah, that's exactly.
So that's where the whole transition of clinking glasses came from. So there.
You're not making any of this up. This is all factual stuff. This isn't the history of wine.
I am not
making this up.
I can go
to any library. Any library at all and find this information.
Go Google. Okay. Get on your Google machine and this will all come up one way or the other.
Okay.
I am actually educating today. I am going to end on a teaching note.
I feel my brain expanding. I do.
Or better yet, I'm going to end the segment on a teaching note. We'll get into more supposition right after this.
For pictures, videos, show recaps, and more, become a fan of Wine Crush Radio Group on Facebook.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. That's 800-281-7048.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-542-6751. 1-800-542-6751. 1-800-542-6751.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
that was a joke.
Oh.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
We missed you. Now it's more of the Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Okay, after our small history lesson, let's fast forward to modern day. Now, of course, we have gone from being the medieval people thinking we're being poisoned to throwing bread in our glasses deliberately. Today, toasting really does have an etiquette. It does have a point. People started really honing in and focusing on the concept of the toast mid-1700s, early 1800s. And let's go ahead and define this. A toast is to raise a glass to someone. Generally, it was accepted you were raising a glass to someone's health, you were raising a glass to someone's happiness, or to someone's well-being. That's what a toast came from. Right. After a while, it started expanding dramatically. It actually, at some point, became you would have parties and everyone would just toast nonstop and you have to drink after toast. We'll get into the rules in a second. So it became an excuse for drunkenness because you were toasting everyone. Mm-hmm. So we have since kind of winnowed that down, but you can still be the toast of the town. And Kent, well, we know that you are always the toast of the
town.
That
is me entirely, yes.
Because it was a tradition. You had to toast to the people that were in the room. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, if there was a particular winsome young lady in your community, you could toast to her, whether she was there or not. Ergo, that a wonderful young woman such as myself could wind up being the toast of the town.
Absolutely.
So we have all heard that expression.
That of the town slut, exactly.
Hey, easy.
Okay, sorry.
That glass is not that thick between the two of us. I'll go ahead and remind you of
it. It is not bulletproof. Okay.
It is not, and I do have a baseball bat. They were dumb enough to leave a 3-iron in here, too.
Okay.
All right, so moving on. Also something, you've heard people say it over and over again. I'll say it. I'll drink to that.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I will drink to that. This is what happened when toasting moved away from being about someone's health, well-being, and happiness to the fact that I've got to censor every single thing that just came through my brain that I was going to toast to.
Thank you for doing it for me.
I know. We've gotten in enough trouble with them this year. I got to try and really hone it down. People that will say, I will drink to that. Okay. That's where that comes from.
Okay.
So outside of those little things that you hear occasionally, there are some specific rules to toasting that you need to know. Okay. You can raise a glass towards someone and it's considered a toast, but you have to lock eyes. So keep that in the back of your head. If you see someone across the room you're toasting to, then by all means, lock eyes. When you have a situation where you are going to toast, say you have been invited to someone's house, number one, the host of the party always has to offer the first toast, period. That is it. You do not stand up. You do not offer a toast until the host does it themselves. Secondly, when the host stands up to make the toast, I wasn't always sure of this, and unless you're among really, really good friends, it is considered really rude and bad form to rap on the wine glass.
Really?
Yes.
Now, I've heard that done virtually everywhere.
Yes, it is poor form and bad manners. the host stands
should
up.
The host should do that, or no one?
You would hope that the person who is seeing, that the group is paying enough attention when the host stands up and says, I'd like to make a toast, that everyone shuts up. Now, at my house, that will never happen. So usually you find the biggest guy in the room, and he's the one that says, hey, shut up. The lady has something to say.
Well, that's right. Or everybody's already passed out on the floor, and they can't get up. So
keep that in mind. You cannot toast before the host. That tapping on the wine glass is absolutely rude. Say you're at a situation where you are the one being honored. Everybody else who is making it around you is toasting you. You do not stand up. You do not drink to yourself. But you have to stand up after it's done and toast and say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
These are just little sundries. I'm here to help all the way through. Also, when you are in a situation where someone has toasted, just in general, cheers to a wonderful 2016. It is horrible form not to drink.
Oh.
You have to take a sip. Not only that, once you raise your glass to begin that toast, whether you are giving the toast or someone else is giving the toast, you cannot put that glass down. You have to take a drink. And here is something I have come across, and I didn't realize it until today, that it is considered the perfect time, whether you are a teetotaler or not, if the toast is being made with an alcohol beverage, you have to take a sip. Hmm. It is awful. In fact, in a lot of cultures, if you go ahead and substitute with water, it is actually a bad omen. So keep that in the back of your head. You teetotalers, you're going to have to take a sip if you're in a situation where someone offers a toast around you. So, all right, so there's your basics
now,
on toast.
Let me ask you another one, too. Should you hold for a second toast? Because very, very often someone will say, we'll make a toast, and you take a sip, and then
You can put your glass down briefly, but once you raise your glass, if someone says raise the glass and you're raising to a toast,
okay.
If your arm has to stay out there 20 minutes, then you should have gone to the gym first because you have to hold that glass out.
Oh, brother.
Yes, you have to. And also, just so you know, you cannot toast sitting down. You have to offer a toast standing up. So here's your little tidbits, trials and tribulations to get through you making that toast. And what we're going to have now is Miss Katie Kelly Bell join us to tell you what you need to be toasting with for New Year's Eve.
Stick your nose in. Don't be shy. Really get your nose right in there, really. A little citrus. Maybe some strawberry.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-989-0233. 800-989-0233. 800-989-0233. That's 800-989-0233.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy
backsplash. I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I
want
to be
a...
I want to be
a... I want
to be a... I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle.
Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. My student loan is totally paid off.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. I paid more than the minimum each month, and soon enough, it was gone.
So you're just giving up?
Giving up on what?
The life of luxury. Egyptian cotton, caviar Thursdays, designer everything.
What are you talking about?
Our plan. What happened to winning the lottery and mastering the art of the perfect mimosa? Hosting galas, wearing enough jewelry to require a bodyguard, vacationing in the French Riviera, and then buying it.
I just thought maybe it was time to prepare for my future. You know, set some financial goals, make some smart investments, open a 401k.
Financial goals? Investments? A 401k? You are horrifying right now. Listen, if winning the lottery were easy, everyone would do it.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Here we are again. It's The Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
This is The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now, you have probably heard enough about toasting, how to toast. So why don't we get to the important part of it and see what needs to be in our glasses? For that, we have Miss Katie Kelly Bell, the great freelance writer who has been everything from Forbes to Wine Report. You name it, she's done it. Katie, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Hello. Happy almost New Year.
Happy almost New Year's. Man, we're just wrapping all these holidays all up together, and I personally am very excited about it. Today, we're leading all of our listeners through New Year's Eve, how and why to celebrate, what to embrace, the art of toasting, and just the idea of you being able to tell me what to put in the glass. That makes me happy. It makes me very happy. Actually, it makes me thirsty. Let me rephrase that. More thirsty than anything else. Before we get into it, for our listeners, who is Katie Kelly Bell? Why should they listen? And what kind of great things have you done in the wine world?
Oh, boy. Well, actually, I am a contributor to Forbes Lifestyle Online, Forbes Online. I write for their lifestyle department. I cover wine. I also cover travel and food, but wine is my specialty. I was also an associate editor at the Wine Report years ago, and I write about wine for USA Today as well.
So you're a professional whiner. I like that.
I am a professional whiner, yes. And I, you know, to me, to learn about wine, you just have to go and drink wine in the places where wine is made, and you will learn infinite things just by doing that. So, I've just been a lifetime, an over 21 lifetime consumer of the wine experience.
Way to be politically correct. I like that. Yeah. Not that the rest of us are around here, but we certainly appreciate that. Yes, immersion is usually the best remedy for ignorance. We have certainly learned. You have put a pretty comprehensive report together on sparkling wines. First of all, let's start. Automatically, when you think of wine that has bubbles in it, are you politically correct enough to say that's sparkling, that's cava, or do you automatically think champagne?
Well, you know, that's interesting. I have a lot of respect for the champagne makers and that name. And so I because I'm in the business, I don't call everything champagne because everything is not. And champagne is a special region in one part of the world that has a very unique soil structure. It's very chalky. It has a very specific climate. So I honestly believe those champagnes taste different than sparkling wine from California or cava from Spain. I think that they really do evoke that part of France. So out of fairness to the hard work that they do, champagne is champagne and everything else is sparkling.
You're better than I am. I actually got in trouble for the other extent of it. I just decided to call everything bubbles. And then people started giving me a hard time about being generic like that. And I'm like, well, I can't just call it all champagne. It's not all sparkling, because then you think I'm talking about water. So if I just say bubbles, I'm safe. And no, apparently people are getting back to being picky about things.
I do call things bubbles. I have to say I agree with that. Bubbles is a good sweeping term to include everything. And bubbles are just fun. I mean, let's just be honest. Everybody loves bubbly.
Everybody loves bubbly.
No matter where it comes from.
Yeah, popping bubbly all the way through. So being the wine aficionado that you are, what would you recommend for people who want to drink something fun, something festive? Okay, let's start here. What's going to be in your glass at 11:59?
That's a good question. Well, you know, it's the first question is always what's in your wallet before it's in your glass.
And that's true. There may not be much left in anyone's wallet the way I saw the shopping mall today.
Right. And my happiest moment is when I have something in my glass that didn't kill my wallet. So I kind of tend to go that way, especially with bubbles, because you want to be profuse and generous with them. And you can spend a lot of money on a beautiful champagne. And I can tell you a few that I would absolutely put down the money for. But, you know, to me, I tasted two this Thanksgiving with my family, who are also considerable aficionados of the bubble. And the two we love, the go-tos, are Gruet, or Gruet, if you're going to be French about it, which is G-R-U-E-T.
Yeah, we need to get someone from the winery on, because I'm like you. Yeah. I've heard it both ways. If it wants to be Gruet or Gruet, what do our friends in New Mexico, what do they want to call it?
I think they would say Gruet.
Okay.
It is French. And they make an ample amount of bubbly, so you'll find it all over the United States. But it's always a great bet. The rosé is my favorite. The Blanc de Blanc is great, but they make some beautiful higher-end, more premium sparklings. They're Sauvage, or Savage, if you want to say. It's wild, basically. It's a zero dosage sparkler, so it doesn't have any additional sugar at the end, and it is just knockout citrusy and zippy and delicious. And another one I love is Graham Beck, and he's from South Africa. That producer is in South Africa, and he produces a huge range like Gruet, starting at $13, $14 and going all the way up to $40 or $50. Again, delicious, crisp, fun, loads of bubbles, just two, and they both start with G. So I'm helping, you know, make your list in your mind. Gruet or Graham Beck. Those are great price points and delicious examples.
I like it. And then for those that really want to push the higher end, they can throw Gosse in there. We can have a lot of fun. But no, I like the find that you actually put Gruet in there, because a lot of people will ask us occasionally about wines from the 50 states. And New Mexico rarely gets brought up at the top of conversation. For our listeners, this bubbly is absolutely phenomenal. And I'm kind of like Katie in the sense that, hey, New Year's Eve, yes, it's nice to have that one great glass, but I'm all for quantity over quality on New Year's Eve so everybody can share. So I think those are both beautiful avenues all the way around, particularly the pink stuff. Definitely the pink stuff
is always more fun, and it's a little more complex typically, but it's always prettier and more fun, just hands down.
All right, so those are two stellar recommendations. Say that I am having, I have a lot to celebrate. What's the splurge bottle for you this year?
Oh, it's hard to pick just one. I like Ruinart, and that's R-U-I-N-A-R-T. I like their rosé. I like Bilkart Samon, their rosé. Those are both champagnes from France.
I'm seeing a trend here.
Yeah, well, but also on the California side, Sea Smoke, which they're kind of known for their Pinot Noir.
They kind of. Just a small Pinot producer, 94, 95, 96 points, if you can find them. Yeah. Yes.
Well, they take some of those yummy grapes that get those high scores, and they turn it into sparkling. And they make a Brut that is just one of my knockout favorite Bruts. I think it's around $80 a bottle. And again, California, Schramsberg, you just can't go wrong. Their rosé is so delicate and delightful. So, yes, California is – and you know who else is making great, incredible sparkling is Oregon.
Oh, without a doubt.
A lot. Mm-hmm. So,
I'm bad about Oregon. When you go to Oregon and Stromsburg, I think brunch. So I tend not to use them to celebrate for New Year's. Hey, Katie, we got to take a quick break right here. When we return, definitely want to continue on another couple recommendations, but also on what the greatest ways to celebrate with that sparkling wine is to you. So small commercials right here, and then more of Miss Katie Kelly Bell when we return.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
If you suffer from heartburn or other digestive-related disorders, then there is a new, safe, better, and natural alternative to better digestive wellness and heartburn relief. Praxid not only provides relief of heartburn, but Praxid takes a 360-degree approach to support better digestion, protect you from harmful bacteria, and also balance your stomach to improve digestive functions.
We like to think of it as the multivitamin of digestive health.
It's the only product to combine all natural ingredients known for the digestive health properties into a single patented product. Praxid also comes in easy-to-carry packs. Praxid relieves, restores, and maintains a healthy digestive system. Praxid is available here for only $39.95. Shipping and handling is free, and your money back is guaranteed.
To take advantage of this special radio offer, call now 1-800-829-5735. That's 1-800-829-5735. Again, 1-800-829-5735.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Call OnCall Pharmacy right now and save as much as $700. 800-884-7919. OnCall Pharmacy delivers the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Call OnCall Pharmacy now and take advantage of this special offer. 800-884-7919. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now. 800-884-7919. 800-884-7919. 800-884-7919.
Welcome back to The Catch Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabbyish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
We continue with another exciting episode of The Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
Welcome back to The Crush. We are with Miss Katie Kelly Bell, a woman who is definitely after my own heart, ringing out just some amazing recommendations for New Year's Eve. Katie, are you still with us?
I'm here.
All right. So we have pretty much run the gamut. You have hit really the head on some of my favorite sparkling wines. We've talked about splurge. We have discussed fun, some quantity over quantity. But as we look to celebrate New Year's and we look at these great sparklers, is there any advice you want to give people? Are there great toasts? Are there great lessons to be learned? Is it required? Your thoughts as a whole on sparkling wine and New Year's Eve and how they run together.
Oh, well, they definitely go together. I mean, you know, but I personally, my thought on sparkling is you should drink it every week. every week is worth celebrating. And so don't just save it up for New Year's, because it's like, it's the perfect wine.
Now I know you're after my own heart, without a doubt. Yeah, except for you and I are going to differ. It should be every day, not every week.
Yeah, well, especially Mondays. That's my recommendation. It should be a New Year's resolution all around. You can preserve a bottle of bubbly in your refrigerator for 3 days with a really good champagne stopper. So I'm just saying, folks.
Well, there is a lot to be said. When you look at the Queen Mother, she starts every day with a glass of Krug. How else? Yeah, I mean, that's a testament to longevity. That's a testament to Krug. That's a testament to everything. What more could you ask for?
She's a smart woman. If I was going to pick, I would pick Krug. Yeah. And, you know, if I could have it every day, I absolutely would. To me, I think it's definitely a New Year's toasting experience for sure. But yeah, keep it year round. And I'm all about, on New Year's Eve, keeping it simple and fun. Popcorn goes great with sparkling wine. Popcorn and champagne is a beautiful, beautiful pairing. And, you know, just be with friends that are special to you and that you care about, who are going to appreciate and love the fancy bottle that you bought and you spent the money on just as much as you are. And you'll bring in a proper New Year doing it that way.
Absolutely. And on the popcorn thing, if you really like your friends, do some with Parmesan cheese, do some with truffle salt, yeah. And man, you're golden.
Right. Yes, exactly.
All right. So as you plan ahead for this New Year's Eve, have you already thought about, obviously we're hedging a little bit on what you're going to drink. Do you have a favorite toast? Do you have a favorite way you like to say goodbye to the year you're in and welcome the New Year's? Is there something you say? Is there something you do?
You know, the Irish have a toast, and it's a one-word toast, and it's sláinte, and it means to your health. And that, to me, is what I'm grateful for the most at the end of every year, is that I'm in good health, and I feel great, because when you're that way, you can pretty much do anything you set your mind to. And it's sláinte with good friends is my toast. It's short, sweet, and simple, which, you know, the Irish pretty much get to the point.
Yes,
and
they do.
That's... That's, to me, what it's all about, is your health and your well-being.
And that actually, it was funny, we had done a small history lesson on the toast, and that's where a toast started, was to cheers to someone's health. And of course, as we get older and all the trivial stuff falls away, that's really the only thing we can count on is a true blessing. All right,
right.
So you have,
you're absolutely right.
You have written, you have done so many amazing things in the world of wine. You obviously have done an in-depth on sparkling and on champagne. I'm going to change tactics on you a little bit. As we're looking at the trends, what we've seen the past few years, do you think that people are taking our advice and trying to drink a bubbles every week, every day, and not save it for the holidays? And if so, why? Is it because it's so prolific? Is it because it's so evident? Is it because that we have more options? Why do you think people are really reasoning to go ahead and have more bubbles these days?
Oh, I think you hit on it in the first one, and that it is more prolific and it's more affordable. I think when Prosecco sort of unfolded into the market, people were astonished at how little they had to pay to get a very fun, festive, bubbly experience. And it, like I said, everybody loves it. It's joyful. It's pleasant. It's not just overwhelmingly high in alcohol, so you can have two glasses and not be in trouble.
Or two bottles.
It lends itself to that. It lends itself to sort of a playful side. And I think everybody's looking for that at the end of or beginning of a brutal week. So I also see it on menus everywhere, not just Prosecco, but Cava Prosecco, a variation in sparkling. So sommeliers are really putting it out there. And, you know, people are starting to see it as a way to start a meal, a way to start an experience. And that was really exclusive to France for so long. You went to France and everything started with sparkling or champagne. That was just the obvious, but it wasn't so obvious, certainly in the United States. And I think that's becoming more culturally the case. Hey, let's start with sparkling. What are we doing? You know, let's not do a cocktail. Let's have some sparkling.
Let's have some bubbles and see where this goes. Hey,
yeah,
actually,
right.
Yes or no on the champagne cocktail? Do you put stuff in your champagne or not?
Oh, well, Saint Germain is great in a really good cava. That can make a terrific cocktail. So, yeah, I don't put it in anything that I would want to drink on its own. A simple, fun, easygoing Prosecco or a really entry-level cava. There's some exquisite cava, so I don't want to put them. They're all good in their own way. But entry-level with, a cocktail mixer, absolutely.
A little
fun cocktail too.
A little flirt of Chambord never really hurt most sparkling under $10.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a different way to enjoy it. It's playful, fun. It's way to go.
All right. Yes or no, Prosecco on New Year's Eve?
No.
See, it's
because unless you're going to go premium, you know, really make it something that you notice and you enjoy. It just, you know, unless you're just gulping away and to, you know, for whatever, I just think it's New Year's Eve has become about the bubble. So if that's the case, then put a bubble in front of everybody that's distinct.
I like
it. I'm carefully not saying Prosecco is indistinct. There are some exquisite Proseccos out there that are from the Cartizzi region. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. That are beautiful, but you know, most Prosecco is around 10 a bottle, so I don't think that's your champagne.
I like it though. I like being festive, and I like having had you on the show. It's great to see someone so excited and getting so energetic. So we're definitely going to have to wrangle you back on the crush. But thank you for your time, and thank you for your insights. And again, you're a woman after my own heart. We think alike. Yeah. We need to find a way to drink alike, and life is going to be good.
I agree.
All right, Katie Kelly Bell for all of our listeners. And we're going to take another break right here. When we return, we will wrap up today's show with some great informal toasts that you can personally steal to celebrate your New Year's.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
An adult elephant can weigh up to 6 tons. The average person, 150 pounds. Ever heard of carfentanil? It's a large wild animal tranquilizer. Illegal drug dealers lace heroin with it. It can kill the average human. If you or a loved one is addicted to opiates, even pain pills, don't wait until it's too late. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. We care. Many of us have been where you are. We'll take you or a loved one away from the drug environment to a place you can clean out safely. Plus, we'll work with your insurance company to make sure you get the treatment you need. And with a Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed by law to get away for help without telling your employer why. Call now to save a life.
800-915-9734. 800-915-9734. That's 800-915-9734.
The IRS is the most feared agency in the world. You've heard ads from other companies offering to help taxpayers only if they owe over $10,000. Here at Platinum Tax Defenders, we're A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, and we're proud to be one of the only tax firms in the country who understands that people who owe less than $10,000 need help just as badly. The IRS doesn't care how much money you owe. They'll still garnish your wages and even seize your assets. So whether you owe just a few thousand dollars or hundreds of thousands, call now for your free tax consultation. If you qualify, we may even be able to reduce your tax debt down to a small fraction of what you owe. So don't wait until the IRS seizes your property and garnishes your wages. Call 800-856-1330 and get your tax problem resolved once and for all. That number again is 800-856-1330. 800-856-1330.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore. And frustration, a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought, and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important, and little things like patience and kindness count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends, and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Now it's back with more of the Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
I'm Laura Lawson. That absolutely charming, amazing woman was Katie Kelly Bell. She is a writer for Forbes. She has written for The Wine Report. And after hearing the way she puts things together, I imagine that she can write for anybody she wants to. She was refreshing change. So we have gone through. We have told you the history of toasting. We have told you the basic etiquette. We have told you what to put in your glass. Now it comes down to the nth hour of putting your toast together. Three very simple rules. Be witty. Be simple and sincere. And here's the one that people tend to forget. Once you get up, you give your toast, let the audience know you're finished. How many times have you been sitting there and all of a sudden the person doesn't say salute, doesn't say word, they just raise the glass and you're looking around because you were talking and say, what are we supposed to do now? So always let people know when the toast is over. So be witty, be simple, be sincere, and always end the toast.
How about brief?
Brief. Brevity is the soul of wit. Just repeat that over and over again, and you'll be fine. Okay, here's a couple that you are more than welcome to steal from me as you get into New Year's. For those of you who know me and have listened to the show, you know that New Year's Eve, I think, is the bane of all human existence. I do not go out on New Year's Eve. I, however, opt to celebrate on New Year's Day. And so I have come up with a toast for this year that I'll be using from 12 o'clock on. Here are to all my friends, and here is to the strength to put up with them. That will be one of my toasts I use on New Year's Day.
You go ahead with that one.
I will. I like that one. There are a couple others. Here's one that I will use also on New Year's Day. Cheers to tolerating fools more gladly, provided this year it does not encourage them to take up more of my time. Now, those are two that are personal, I realize, albeit insincere. But here, this new year, be someone that you yourself can admire. I like that one. I like it. It's positive.
I like that too. Very good.
It's upbeat. It's uplifting. I like that very much. May all your troubles last as long as your New Year's resolutions. Kent, I know how much you like your New Year's resolutions.
I like that.
So I figure that one will fall in well for you all the way around. Also, just out of curiosity, we hit on the high notes on toast. Would like to know if any of y'all have great ones you're going to use. 877-4-CRUSH-1. Email me, lauralawson@winecrush.com. But remember, when you're preparing, a toast is a mini speech. And the shorter, the briefer, the better the speech is. And the more able you are to rehearse and prepare for it, the better off you'll be. Final little note on toasting etiquette as we go through. Don't ever make anybody make a toast. Do not say, oh, hey, Kent, you got to get up. You need to make a toast. You need to say something. That's not going to end well for anybody. As we part, let me leave you with this. May the best day of the past year be the worst day of next year. Cheers to New Year's Eve 2021.